Bobby Bones, everybody.
Transmitting across America.
This is Bobby Bones Show.
Come on, Bobby.
Yeah, good morning. Welcome to Tuesday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
You know, I've saved a lot of money in the past month not going to Starbucks.
Oh.
It's been 1 month since my last Starbucks trip.
Wow, you've been keeping track. Okay, I can see that. I mean, if you're spending what were you spending? Probably $6
a day. For, let's say, on the low end, 3 days a week. Okay, so you're looking at $18 a week at least. Let's round it to 20.
That's
$80 a month.
Yeah.
That's $1,000 a year.
I'm going to send this audio clip to my wife. Because I tell her this all the time. We would save so much money if we didn't get Starbucks.
What I do, to be fair, is I go to this little local place and they have the same kind of thing, but it's much, much, much cheaper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm saving tons of money. And I'm also not sitting in Starbucks line all day.
Oh, that's no. a real world struggle right there.
Starbucks has got us, man.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Starbucks has got us. Apple's got us.
Yeah.
Amazon's got us.
Netflix has got us.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazon Prime has just completely taken over my life. Like, it's just too easy to order
Instagram's
things.
Got us.
Big time.
Like, guys, let's just admit it. We got God.
Bobby Bones.
Recognizing people doing cool things.
It's ICU.
Did you hear about this guy running the 10K?
No.
Okay. His name's Robert Gomez. He was running the Beach to Beacon 10K race in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. He was in second place, so he's doing good. It was just him and another guy, Jesse, who was in the lead. And Jesse, like, collapses. And so he's got the decision to make. Does he run past him?
Yeah, that's always...
Or does he pick him up?
That'd be a hard one. Just kidding.
And they're pretty close to the finish line. Because you can always run past it and then come back.
Yeah, or somebody else could help him.
Yeah.
Because you have a race to finish. Mm-hmm.
So he grabbed him. Picked him up by the shoulder, and here they come to the finish line. Now, what do? Do you push him across first, or do you take him and then you put your head over first and then bring him with you? What do you think he did?
Oh, man. I think he kind of, like, put his elbow in first.
You think he did this
least.
Guy won?
Yeah.
They ran across the exact same time and had it a tie.
Okay, that's cute.
It's cute.
That's cute.
I think if you go through all the effort of picking somebody up, you go ahead and push them and let them win.
Oh, I was thinking you helped them, so you go ahead and you win because you're there, but you also helped him.
See, I'm like, if I'm going to stop and do all this good, I'm going to make sure it's all good. I go 100% or
9%. Okay. Oh.
So I either run by him and win the race, or I pick him up and make sure he wins the race. That's it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But he still picked him up. They tied. They both won.
Cute.
It's a good story. It's ICU. I see you, Robert Gomez. I see you.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
It's producer Raymond. In military news, the U.S. may begin airstrikes against ISIS in the Philippines. We would do this with armed drones. In Missouri, there's a manhunt underway after a rookie officer was killed during a traffic stop. There's a person of interest. The picture is online. And finally, health officials say those copper cocktail mugs that are being used for Moscow mules, they may cause sickness because of the copper. So if your mug does have an inner lining used with a different metal, you're good. But if it's copper, be careful.
I'm going to try to watch The Voice this season. Just because it's a thing and I'm never in it.
Okay.
I was reading a story, Joe Jonas, Rascal Flatts, Kelly Rowland, Billy Ray Cyrus... They're all going to be part of The Voice.
Oh, like the advisors or whatever?
Yeah. I think I'm just going to commit to watching it.
Do it.
And I don't, but I'm going to. Yeah. You want to know something frustrating?
What?
So, by the way, John Mayer will be. This is not frustrating. John Mayer's coming in about an hour and a half or so. So.
She's always buzzing just like neon, neon.
That's not frustrating, but an hour and a half, John Mayer in studio. Our band, The Raging Idiots, put out the song called Chick-fil-A, But It's Sunday. Because you go to Chick-fil-A, and you're like, man, I sure do crave it. You drive up to them, and you're like, ho! They don't answer back, and you're like, oh, it's Sunday.
Yeah.
Crap, I can't get it. So we put out the song. It's a live recording. And it went to number 2 on the comedy charts, not number 1.
Oh.
I know. You know who beat us?
Who?
Some YouTube kid who has 65 million followers.
Yeah, those kids are going to be hard to beat.
And he just barely beat us. I'm so frustrated by that.
Well, that's impressive. Barely.
Number 2 is still not first.
So, whoa.
But this song, this is like a from the heart song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
This is so relatable. What was he singing about?
Kylie Jenner. And
oh.
Yeah, he's like a 17-year-old YouTube kid.
Have shouted her out in this song.
I know.
And now the newest song from Bobby Bones and the Raging Idiots, Chick-fil-A, But It's Sunday.
Someone asked me earlier to play the Chick-fil-A song, so this is for you guys.
I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. I want the fries and a little waffle, but now I'm feeling awful. I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. Yeah, the one day that you aren't open is the one day that I was hoping to get Chick-fil-A, yeah, yeah, yeah. To get Chick-fil-A, yeah. I yell hello through the drive-thru, hello. Nobody answers me back. I look around for all the other cars. Where the heck is everyone at? I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. I want the fries and the middle waffle, but now I'm I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. Yeah, the one day that you aren't open is the one day that I was hoping to get Chick-fil-A, yeah, yeah, yeah. To get Chick-fil-A, yeah, yeah, yeah. I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. I want the fries and a little waffle. Now I'm feeling awful. I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday.
So there you go, the number two song. I need people to download that on iTunes so we can take that kid down.
Yeah.
At 17, you don't need to know its place in life.
There's still time.
Yeah, people sing it live like crazy. Man, he doesn't have fans singing along.
I don't know.
I'd like to beat that 7-year-old up. I'm going to sing this at the Opry tonight.
That'd be good.
They won't know, but I'll sing it at the Opry. Yeah, so anyway.
Go!
Download Chick-fil-A, But It's Sunday from Bobby Bones and the Raging Idiots on iTunes now.
Oh, did I mention John Mayer's coming in?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, 1 hour and 25 minutes. Okay, making sure John Mayer.
Mayer.
Just making sure. Not the mayor of Johnsville.
No.
John Mayer. Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
All right, around the room with positivity. Time for Tell Me Something Good.
Tell me something good.
Richard's 94 years old, and he has one of those motorized tricycles so he can get around.
Yeah.
Like at the grocery store with someone's basket.
Yeah.
He's got one of those. He goes into CVS, parks it outside, goes into the store. Somebody steals it.
Oh, man.
Probably some kids.
Probably made a fast getaway.
And so he comes out and there's nothing. And so someone that worked at the store was like, hey, his is stolen. So they raised $2,445.
Wow.
And bought him a new one.
That's awesome.
From like people that work at the store and people that come into the store that know him and see him driving around. And he's also 94 years old. Just that alone is telling me something good. He was chilling at 94. Amy, what else you got?
Well, a senior couple has chosen Beauty and the Beast as the theme of their wedding. One of them is a widow. One of them is divorced. And they've been together 10 years, finally deciding to tie the knot. Again, they're an older couple. And they just wanted something that their whole family could enjoy. And everyone is hoping that the newlywed's tale will be as old as time.
The oldest time.
Beauty and the Beast.
Lunchbox.
Hunter is a 7-year-old little nugget, you know, and he wants to be a cop when he grows up. He wants to be a canine officer.
A kid?
Yeah, a little nugget. That's what they call kids, little nuggets.
Do they?
At least some of my friends, they call their kids
nuggets.
I didn't know that. Yeah, he's 7 years old, so he goes around the house and he gives out fake tickets to his family members. Like, he goes, woo, woo, sorry you didn't put your dishes in the sink. Writes him a ticket.
That's funny, but that's going to get annoying pretty quick.
Yeah,
so the police in, you know, the local police department found out about it, and they surprised him for his birthday. They showed up with a little toy police car, and they gave him an honorary badge.
That's
pretty cool, because he wants to be a canine officer. So Hunter said, woo, woo, put your dishes away. That's a ticket.
Did he say that again? Or are you just doing that?
I didn't know what other crime he said. Roo, roo. grass is a little long. Got to go mow it. Ticket.
Now with the HOA. this kid's out of control.
Starts fining people.
He's out of control. All right, good one. That is cool, though, from those cops. That's cool. Bobby Bones. About an hour and 28 minutes from John Mayer O'Clock.
That's what time he comes in.
Yeah, the hour?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. About an hour and 28 minutes from John Mayer O'Clock.
Gravity.
So he'll be in studio.
It's working against me.
So Amber Heard, you know who that is, right?
She's the one that dated Johnny Depp?
Yeah, actress. And I think she's kind of famous as an actress, but she dated Johnny Depp, and now she's with Elon Musk, the Tesla guy.
Yeah, but...
So they broke up.
Okay, yeah, that's what I read. Dunzo.
They started dating a couple years ago, but how hard would it be to date her after she dates a billionaire? Like, once I dated a girl after she dated a Backstreet Boy, and I was like, this has got to be the hardest thing ever. No, the hardest thing ever is trying to date someone after... This guy's basically Iron Man.
Yeah, yes, he is. You're right.
Like, I dated post-Backstreet Boy. That's nothing. Someone's got to date post-Iron Man now.
Yeah.
What a comparison. Well, he's Iron Man.
He's Iron Man.
Wow.
He's super smart. He's figured out all this technology, and he sits in his little... and just creates things.
Yeah, totally.
Billionaire. With a B. I don't know if I've ever met a billionaire. I met Jerry Jones. Does he have billions?
Yeah, he's a billionaire.
For sure.
Really? Jerry Jones owns the Dallas Cowboys.
I know who Jerry Jones is.
Whoa. Your tone? I appreciate it. He spent $13 million on his Hall of Fame party last weekend.
What?
He got inducted in the NFL Hall of Fame. He had Justin Timberlake perform. He spent $13 million
on
it.
What kind of party are we having for you?
Oh.
Radio Hall of Fame?
$13.
He threw his own party, so...
He threw his own, yeah. He had Justin Timberlake. I'm going to have Rusty Timberwake.
Does Justin Timberlake, do you give someone like that a deal, or do you milk it? Like, because you know they're a billionaire. Or are you like, oh, yeah, that's Jerry Jones. I should... You know, because rich people get everything for free, even though they can pay for it.
You don't. This is what you do, because I know really rich people, artists in Nashville.
Okay, what do you do? Make a donation?
No. Oh. You just go to them with the high amount and go, hey, Justin Timberlake, I will give you $2 million to play.
Oh, it's like respect.
It's absolutely a respect thing.
I can respect that.
And so what I know he probably gave him $1 million, I'm guessing. I'm assuming he said, hey, ask Justin's people, because you don't want to ask one-on-one, because then if you get told no, it's kind of embarrassing.
Oh,
but you
yeah.
say, hey, reach out, see if Justin Timberlake can do it for $1 million. And then that's
wow.
what I would have said.
Wow.
Bobby Bones Show.
Here we go.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood.
Amy's 30-second skinny.
Taylor Swift was in Denver yesterday to witness the jury selection for the trial she's a part of. And we kind of got the questionnaire that her lawyers or their lawyers are going with because they don't want Taylor fans on the jury. And they're like, have you ever listened to Taylor Swift on the radio?
What? That eliminates everybody.
I know.
I will just lie and be like, who?
But then they go more in depth, like, have you gone to one of her concerts? Have you ever read a blog about her?
Dang.
Have you ever? I mean, I'm like, what? Have you ever seen her on the cover of a magazine at the grocery store?
You'd be kicked off immediately.
Right. I don't know how they're going to pick people. Kid Rock is coming to country. He signed a record deal at Broken Bow Music Group. That's home of Jason Aldean, Dustin Lynch, Trace Atkins, and more.
Yeah. I said this about a month ago on the air. So there's that, and then his new song that's going to be worked radio isn't even out yet, but it's really freaking good.
Oh, and
it's really
okay.
good. I know. You know who else was on that label? You didn't even mention Lindsay
L. How
did
yes.
you mention, not mention Lindsay. Who else did you mention over there?
I mentioned Jason Aldean,
fair.
Justin Lynch.
Yeah, good one.
And Lindsay L.
No, you didn't. Whatever.
I said Trace Atkins. You're right.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was trying to play it cool.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm Amy. That's your 30-second skinny.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Winder, Georgia. A man was arrested after he wanted to show off to his friends and do some donuts in the parking lot in his little new car. So he starts doing donuts, loses control of the car, hits a tree, and hits the building.
Oh, no.
Yeah, all caught on security cameras, and so he was charged with reckless driving.
I mean, if you're those friends, do you run away or do you go to help?
Surely you go make sure he's okay.
Here he goes,
Oh, yeah, that's some donuts.
Boom!
Oh, there's no surely, because you're already doing something stupid.
Right.
I think I'm running away.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're like, no, surely they'd make the conscious decision.
You would think that you would
know. No, you'd probably be like, oh, I'm not getting in trouble, and you get out of there, too.
Well, I just for the record, I would make sure you guys were okay.
Well, yeah, I don't think you'd be hanging around us. First of all, we wouldn't be. Only Lunchbox would be doing donuts in a parking lot.
Yeah, he does peel out of our parking garage.
In his Altima. Like, still to this day.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day. Hanging out with the
Bobby Bones Show. I can't wait. John Mayer will be in the studio. That's going to be awesome to me. Yeah, yeah. Da-na-na-na. So John Mayer in less than an hour. I do have some secret audio of Lunchbox of him singing at the Tim McGraw Faith Hill show. Would you guys like to hear this?
Oh,
he got it. Yeah, he got into it. So he was telling us yesterday how much he loved the Tim and Faith show. It's your love. So here he is doing It's Your Love. I never hear you that happy singing to stuff.
Oh, man. I was killing it.
This is Faith Hill. You ready to hear him do Faith?
Yeah.
This kiss? Look at that guy.
Wow.
I love it that you're having fun, man. This is a secret audio that someone gave me of Lunchbox singing to Faith Hill, Breathe. Slow and steady run. Get the way it's supposed to be. You nailed that note,
dude. Yeah.
That's good. Wow. You know why it's good? It's like church. Just spread a joyful noise. That's it, man. Man. That's how you talk to a woman. Look at that. You want Meanwhile Back at Mama's?
Yeah. Meanwhile
Back at Mama's. Sing that one at all or no?
No.
You didn't know that one?
No.
I think the audio, and I won't say who gave it to me, fantastic job. Because I know you don't like to be the guy seen as like having normal person fun.
No, I love having fun.
But not normal person like Tim and Faith fun. You're kind of embarrassed right now.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Hit the song.
He was killing that Faith Hill though, huh? Exciting day. Especially for me, John Mayer will be in the studio in a little over 50 minutes. That's Eddie's jam right there.
Yeah. Dude, this is the best it gets for John Mayer right here. It won my book.
It's not. So John Mayer's in today. And then on Friday, Female Friday, this week, Lindsay L. comes in. And so if you don't know, that's my girlfriend, but I've kept her off the show for over a year as she has tried to have – she's signed to a major label. She's an artist.
Yeah.
But a lot of radio stations have been not adding her because she's dating me, so I've kept her off the air. But she has a record out, and I hope everybody pre-orders it. Oh, people go right now and pre-order it. Make my life easier.
I mean, really. Angie's coming.
She's coming in Friday.
So big week for you, John Mayer today, Lindsay L. Friday.
I will not be doing most of the interview Friday. You, the listeners, will be doing it. I'll be sitting back.
Okay.
I just feel like that's fair.
So we interview and playing? Like, have we talked about what she's playing yet?
I did. Listen, I've talked to her very little over the past couple weeks. She's been on the road. I think she's in New York today. I did mention to her last night, hey, are you going to play something? And I do believe she's going to play live Champagne, which is like a horn and a guitar. She's never played it stripped down before. But I was like, I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
So I think she's going to do that Friday.
Can support that.
Can you?
Yeah. That's what I kind of threw out there as a request.
Yeah, I told her that. Okay. And I think that's why she's doing it. I blocked Ray on Instagram.
What? Yeah,
good.
Why?
Good.
Because he won't stop commenting things, like stuff about being naked. It's not even like, hi. It's like, every time I post something, he's like, are you naked? I'm like, stop.
But we're all friends. It's being funny. We all know each other's humor. I'm not actually asking, are you naked?
Well, so what are you asking?
Yeah, what's the point of you writing 10 things in a row on my Instagram?
Well, everybody sees them, and they get a kick out of them.
Oh, do they?
I've been on message boards ever since I was in middle school. This is message boards on Instagram. That's all that is.
Yeah.
I used to do the same thing when I was a kid, and I forgot how fun it was.
Yeah. Okay. Right now, he's blocked from my Instagram.
Yeah, I've been blocked for 2 weeks. I'm like, I have to load audio from your Instagram. I have to research your Instagram, and I can't even access it.
Yeah. So what does that tell you? Stop writing stupid stuff on it!
Well, Mike D's having to do my work now because I was like, well, Bones, for some reason, blocked me, man, so you got to help me out.
And what's up with the naked? Like, I know. Don't understand. And he texted me the other day, hey, you naked? What?
I know.
Like, what?
What's that?
When I was coming to his UFC party, I was like, hey, man, I can come, but real quick, are you naked?
Like, what?
What does that mean?
It's just funny.
Yeah.
What? And he spells it N-E-K-K-I-D. Yes,
I'm immature.
Yes.
Because we know Ray's not serious, and I think his comments are funny. You should let him back. Let him back.
Let him back.
Well, and can I tell you this really quick? I've had ideas for the show before where people, it would be called Naked Trivia, and people would call in, and the funniest thing of the show would be, they'd say, all right, I'm ready to play the trivia, and you'd say, well, are you naked? And they'd say, yeah, I'm naked. I'm here in Kansas right now. And so then they could play trivia. It's a hilarious game. That's really where it all started.
But they're not really naked.
As a kid, it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. And I was like, so now since then, I've always asked people, are you naked? I think it'd be a great game. So this is also a pitch for me to you that I think it'd be a fun thing.
To do things.
What's wrong with this guy?
I don't know. I think he's hilarious, but sometimes he has to be like, hey, take a step down for one second. But right now, Ray's blocked from my Instagram. Mr. Bobby Bones, if you want to hop over to Instagram. I don't even know what this guy's up to in his life. Why is it so hot in the studio?
It's not.
Are you hot,
hot
right now?
Why
I feel
so
great.
Hot. Oh, maybe I'm just nervous because John Mayer's coming in. Ooh. What?
You're like stripping layers down and grabbing it on.
Come on, baby.
It's working against me.
Somebody get this guy's own little fan.
Somebody get the guy a Snickers bar.
And gravity.
John Mayer in 40 minutes.
Till John Mayer O'Clock.
It's John Mayer O'Clock in 40 minutes. Do you care, though?
Yeah. I've seen him in concert, obviously, but I've never met him in person.
You will be struck by how tall he is.
Oh.
Because I'm a little over 6 foot, and he's probably 3 inches taller than I am.
He's tall?
Yeah, really tall. Huh. Yeah. I will not have one single conversation about your bodies in Wonderland with him. I will not bring it up.
Why not?
You're not going to be like, how are your bubblegum tongue?
How's your bubblegum tongue? No, I will not. This song is not my favorite.
Hey, John, can you pass me some bubblegum for my tongue?
Oh, boy.
No. See,
that's a good idea. Maybe don't bring it up.
Are you naked? Hey, John.
Hey, John, are you naked?
Hey, John, let's do an interview. Are you naked? Ray, that might be the dumbest pitch ever.
But I'm, also awesome.
But also awesome.
I've definitely pitched it multiple times, but it always keeps getting ignored.
Like, for Lunchbox had Naked Baby on the schedule for like
years.
10 years.
He was like,
Naked Baby.
How old can you have a baby swimming in the like, lake? In the lake, naked.
Oh.
How old's the age? Six? Three? Mr. Bobby. I do a show from my house, and last night I did one called The Bobbycast. And you can go to iHeartRadio or iTunes and subscribe to The Bobbycast and have songwriters, artists come in, kind of talk about behind-the-scenes stuff. And Heather Morgan came in, and her and Brett Eldridge wrote Crazy for Brett. You know this song right here?
You make me crazy.
It's not crazy. This is, that's the part of it. What's the name of that song? Hey, what's the name of that song? Crazy! No, Brett Eldridge won. Anyway, so what happened was... That's it, lose my mind. Thank you very much. It says it's listed as crazy. Here's why it's listed as crazy. Because you remember Gnarls Barkley?
Does that make me crazy?
So they had to put Gnarls Barkley and two other people as songwriters of that song.
What?
Because because of that. Because when Gnarls Barkley did it...
Does that make me crazy?
They had to put two songwriters on from it, like an Italian song from like the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And so then when they did it, they had to add four other writers to it.
You make me crazy.
And I was like, that cuts into the check, right?
They wanted to change it, or they wanted to figure out like how much of the song was, I guess, percentages or something. And so they didn't get a lot of it. Not as much as it could have been. It could have been like really hurtful, but I'm not like crying every time a check comes in because they have most of it or anything like that.
But yeah, Gnarls Barkley had to be added, and the people that were added to the Gnarls Barkley. Like, the songwriting stuff's crazy.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Here's what I want to talk about, and I want to open phone lines and say call and talk to us. 877-77-BOBBY. Somebody on the show was at a restaurant, and there was a kid screaming, crying at a restaurant, right? It's like a toddler. Just screaming. And the parents just let the kids sit there and scream in the restaurant. Now, I got to ask, what do you do in that situation if you're somebody sitting next to the table? Do you complain? Do you just let the parent be the parent, let the kids scream? If you're the parent, like, how do you think you should handle it? Because I don't know, but it happened. And I want to talk about it.
Okay.
And if I haven't mentioned it, John Mayer will be in 33 minutes. Our head producer, Morgan, she was eating. What restaurant were you eating when the kid was screaming?
I was eating at a Culver's.
Okay, so you're at Culver's, and there's a kid just screaming?
Wailing.
How old was the kid?
Like 4 or 5.
And so what did the parents do as the kid was screaming?
They told him stop. He didn't stop. So then it just kept on. And they didn't take him out, which was my thing. Like, take your kid out of the restaurant because everybody else is trying to eat and have some peace and quiet.
So,
right?
Morgan doesn't have a kid. Let me let everybody know that Morgan, and I think that's, you need to know this. Morgan doesn't have a kid. And so, neither do I. So, I would think, too, as someone who doesn't have a kid, that if your kid is disrupting other people in a public place, for the sake of the public place, you have to take the kid out of the public place. But I'm not a parent. So, that's perspective of a non-parent. Eddie, you're a parent. You got a screamer. What do you do?
Bring it. This is how you do it. You are responsible for your child. You wouldn't want to be on the other side of it, like you, like Morgan or yourself. You have to remove that situation out of the restaurant. Get it out. I mean, just let's get our food to go and get out of the restaurant.
Really? So
you don't want to ruin it for everyone else. It's embarrassing.
Aside from the embarrassment part of it, do you feel like you're taking away the experience that, let's say, I'm paying for?
Yeah. I mean, we're all paying money to go to a restaurant and eat. Like, why am I and my family going to ruin it for everyone?
Lunchbox, you disagree?
I say you let them cry it out because you teach the kid, look, you're going to try to embarrass me. You're going to be the one that's embarrassed. I'm going to sit here and enjoy my food, and you're going to look like the fool.
But
what about everybody around, though, that's bothering?
Hey, that's kind of life. You know, if you don't like it, you can get up and go outside. Oh, let them cry it out.
Kelsey, you're on the air in Massachusetts. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Really good. What do you think about this?
So I have to 100% agree with Eddie and Morgan. I was a waitress for 10 plus years. I'm a mom now, and I was a nanny for years. So I have dealt with this 100 times, and it's just rude to ruin other people's dinners. I mean, there's some people who can't afford to go out to eat a lot, so they may only go out, you know, once or twice every couple of months, and this is a special occasion for them. And
so,
a screaming baby or a screaming child next to them. So you, as a parent, it's your responsibility, out of respect for everybody else around, to take your child outside or out of the restaurant and, you know, change the diaper or feed them or get them calm or do whatever you need to do.
So, okay, you say take the kid out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you're ruining everyone else's meal.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thank you, guys.
Have a great morning. Awesome. Thanks for calling. Let's see. What if we go over and talk to Anissa in Illinois? Hi, Anissa.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for calling. What do you think about this?
So I have to agree with Eddie. I've been in a situation where my now 5-year-old daughter, she was about probably 2 when we went to a restaurant, and she just started throwing a crazy fit. I was totally embarrassed. So I just hurry up and asked for our check, got our food to go, and took her out of the situation.
It seems like that is the common thread. Like, if it's a public thing and you're hurting other people's time, you have to remove your kid. Now, if you're in an airplane, that's different. You can't remove your... There's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tough
nowhere
situation.
Nowhere to go. But
on Lunchbox's situation, though, like, I've been in Walmart with her before where she's been, like, throwing a fit, and I've taught her a lesson. Like, okay, if you're going to throw a fit, excuse me, can you stop and look at my daughter for a second? Because she might need your attention. And she stopped immediately.
Because she was embarrassed?
Time and place. Yes.
Well, listen, I appreciate you for calling the show.
I appreciate you guys.
And thanks for listening. And did you know that John Mayer's coming up? Have I mentioned that?
I did.
I'm
oh
just
my God,
making
I
sure.
Listening.
Okay, 23 minutes from now. I don't know if I've even mentioned it so far, but John Mayer's going to be on the show.
John Mayer, totally.
It's, yeah, John Mayer O'Clock comes up at 22 minutes now. Thank you for calling. I'm going to play a song. I got to get loose. I got to start stretching. John Mayer's going to come in. I want to be loose.
Okay.
Me. And the little hamstring work here. Ugh. John Mayer in studio in about 5 minutes or so.
Bobby Bones.
Here we go.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood.
Amy's 30 Second Skinny.
Rascal Flatts are joining Blake Shelton's team on The Voice as advisors for the upcoming season. Gary LaVox is excited because he feels like Blake always picks good people. He's got good taste. Season 13 of The Voice premieres on September 25th on NBC. This weekend of TV, now that The Bachelorette has concluded, which of the losers is going to become The Bachelor. They didn't announce it. Normally, Lunchbox, don't they announce it the night of the finale?
Yes, they do.
They didn't. They haven't narrowed it down. They haven't picked a Bachelor, which, spoiler alert, I'm going to say who Lindsay picked right now. Brian Abosolo.
Her name's Rachel.
Oh, Rachel.
Why would you say Lindsay?
I don't know. Maybe I have Lindsay on my brain.
What in the world's happening right
now? Her last name's Lindsay. Her name's Rachel Lindsay.
All right.
And yeah.
As you can see, Amy and I don't watch The Bachelor.
So if you're looking for The Bachelor to be announced, calm down. It hasn't been done. Chris Harrison said they will make their decision soon. I'm Amy. That's your 30-second skinny.
About 4 minutes from John Mayer. I'm going to talk to him, just give some background about Clay Cook, who is in Zac Brown Band. And he's like the number two of Zac Brown. He sings when Zac doesn't. And so him and John Mayer were a duo back in the day.
Oh, okay.
So if you hear me talk about, because I'm probably going to nerd out a little bit in this John Mayer interview, but just some background. They were together in Atlanta, him and John Mayer. So it's weird that like one of the main Zac Brown Band guys and John Mayer were a duo.
Wow, okay.
So that'll come up. Just want to give a little background. Over to the corny now.
The morning corny.
What's the difference between a snowman and a snowwoman?
Stop it. This is the one. You don't even ask about this one. This one's worse than the other one.
You know?
Yeah, the snowballs. This one's worse than the other one. You don't even ask. Like,
yeah, why didn't you get a preview of that?
Yes, you didn't ask for any sort
He's
of...
He's got the confidence now.
Yeah.
Man, those other ones were good, so I thought this was good to go.
I mean, I hate to ruin it, but in my head, I'm like, this is the one you probably run by Amy and Mike D, not the other one.
Okay, hit it again.
What's the difference between a snowman and snowwoman?
Snowballs!
I'm sorry to ruin that joke. I just mean...
How did you know that, Bo?
Yeah, how did you know that? Way to ruin
You're
it.
You're a genius.
Stop it. What is wrong with you?
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
All right, John Mayer in studio. Hey, dude.
How are you?
Dude, thanks for coming in. Appreciate that.
Thank you for supporting this record and the song and giving me an opportunity to come in.
You know, I guess we can start this. We were talking yesterday. The last concert that I paid money to go to was your show. I saw you in Minneapolis. And we went up and watched that show. And I can't go tonight, and now you're like three blocks down the road.
Well, you can't afford it?
I can't. I spent money.
I'll give you tickets.
I'm at the Opry tonight. And
oh, cool.
So, yeah, I can't come.
Listen, there's always a cool reason not to come to my show because someone has a show of their own. That's the best reason not to come, so.
We're having the debate in this room before you came in, and you may not want to answer this. Which song are you just tired of playing?
I'm tired of playing Waiting on the World to Change.
Boom! Oh. What did I say?
Hey, up!
Why, that I would have one or that it would be Waiting on the World?
That it would be that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think it is?
It's honest to God, it's just a tactile thing. It's just after a while, like, by the way, you're going to be like, oh, well, I hated the message. I was like, I just didn't like the way it felt in my hand. It's right outside of my range. Like, when I had vocal surgery, that I had a procedure, like, it cost me, like, two or three notes. And I needed those notes for Waiting on the World to Change. So I kind of have to sneak around it. So it's not exactly, it never really was the most comfortable thing to sing. So weirdly enough, like all the songs that became very popular are very difficult to sing for me. Meanwhile, all I wanted to do was like have a hit with like, who says I can't get stoned? Just wake up at 5 a.m. and be able to do it. And so I'm weird when it comes to hits, man. Like, I don't know what makes a song of mine a hit. I have a feeling it's like there's something in, like you do stand up. You know, like your middle funny joke to you is your funniest joke to the crowd.
So I never know what joke's gonna be the funniest.
It's the one that you're the least excited about. Like it's your throwaway they love.
It's the accidental the throwaway, yeah.
Because you're interested in the upper ranges of your mind. Like, how can I be more clever? How can I be more interesting? And then somewhere in your middle is where the crowd kind of grabs onto what you're saying. Like the crowd probably applauds and you go like, oh that. Oh, you like that. Okay, because that really didn't feel like anything coming out of my head. It's the same thing with music. It's like all the stuff where I'm like, oh my God, this is so complex and interesting and people are going to love it. Like, they kind of don't. It's the stuff that for me, I feel like is a little bit, it bores me just the slightest bit.
And that's what we love.
It becomes like, whatever I find boring in it, people find accessible in it.
Here's the joke I'm thinking about the Opry tonight. Tell me it's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't used it yet.
Yeah.
We'll have to bleep it out.
Okay.
You see the guy that got caught the movies to the emoji movie?
Yes, this is good.
Well, it's not that good.
No, I mean, it's a good, it's a good.
Right. Everyone is freaking out about the guy doing that theater. I'm just wondering which emoji he thought was super hot.
Okay. So that's a setup. That's not a punchline yet. It's still a setup.
Right.
So then you break it down.
Is it the salsa lady?
There you go.
No, so then I go through the thing. And then at the end, I end up with the purple.
Yeah. The zucchini. There's a lot of places.
Eggplant. It's the eggplant.
Is it the poop emoji?
Right, but I don't think people are like, that's funny as I start rolling through emojis. Like, I think that's funny.
It's funny if you can break it out. And I hate that I'm on your radio show telling you how to be funny.
It's okay, because I was telling you what songs I think are there really good. So we're all good. We're in a good place.
Yeah, I think as long as you just, like, there's a place to go there. Sure.
John Mayer in studio with us right now. Where's your dog, by the way? Because I'll watch on social media.
Yeah. This is kidding.
No, that's a real question. Okay. Yeah. Does your dog stay in Montana?
My dog does not stay in Montana. This is what happened. Got a dog. Wanted to have a dog on the road. Road dog. A dear friend of mine happens to be an incredible dog trainer. She took my dog. Trained my dog. Turned into a perfect beast. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to take my dog on the road. Dog hates music. Hates music.
Oh, no.
He thinks it's like thunder. Like thunderstorm. So he's trembling in the dressing room. First night, I think Red Rocks was like the first place we were like, okay, well, I got a dog. Let's do this. Cowering in the corner. Also, like when he's home with me, if I pick up a guitar and plug it in and start playing it, he does the funniest thing. Like he doesn't want to offend me, but he like slowly slinks his two paws, front paws off the couch and just waddles out of the room because I'm playing music. So it wasn't going to work, but it turned out that my dog trainer, she loved him so much, and she said, well, he's a part of our family too, so I'll be the mommy. And I thought, that's awesome. So my dog lives a better life than I do. He lives in Brentwood, California, and I pick him up. It's like doggy daycare, but it's months long.
How about this? The fact that you see colors when you play.
I don't have synesthesia, and people.
Okay, that's word
no,
on the street.
People. Somebody.
Why would someone fake that about you then?
Well, people misinterpret my metaphors a lot, which is easily done. Synesthesia, by the way, is some people have a clinical. I don't know if I'd call it a disorder. It's a gift of sorts, whereby words and sounds actually are interpreted as colors in their brain. I have it, but not visually. I'm pretty close to. I have relative synesthesia.
Like, so, are you seeing when you're playing a solo? What are you seeing in your head? How are your numbers, colors, muscle memory? What is it?
Shapes, colors, geometry. Man, you're a very good interviewer. Like, so, you're asking really interesting, untrodden on questions that are exciting to answer. The way that I do it is tons and tons and tons of streams of possibilities, of shapes, what's where does it go? And I've done it for so long now that a lot of that data has sort of dissolved and it's all feeling now. I just know where it is. And it's more fun than ever to play guitar because I'm not playing it like a student of guitar anymore.
John Mayer is here now. So I'm buds with the guys from the Zac Brown Band and Clay Cook.
Yeah.
And I know the story, but you and Clay were at Berkeley together.
Mm-hmm.
And Clay was like, you know, let's move down to Atlanta. And you and Clay kind of had a duo together for a
sure.
while, right?
Yep, that's how we started. That's how I started right out of college, was playing in an acoustic duo.
And so you move down to Atlanta. And so why Atlanta, of all places?
Clay had family in Atlanta and said, I think we can do. And he said there was a great music scene down there, which he was absolutely right. He did have family. And he wasn't lying about either. Family and a music scene. So we moved down there and just started doing open mic nights and writing. And that's how I got my start in music, was following him down to Atlanta. We lived in Snellville, Georgia. Are you on the radio in Snellville, Georgia? Where everybody's somebody. That's the name. That's the catchphrase for the town.
Is it snail, like the snail, the bug? Or
Snell, but it's pronounced Snailville. But it's Snellville, S-N-E-L-L.
So you guys moved to Atlanta and you write a lot of things together.
Yeah, we wrote, we had written, you know, 5-6 songs at that point. We're still trying to put it all together.
So you guys decide to go your own different ways. Is that a big decision for you two?
Yes. Yeah. Well, no one's ever cared about this. Yeah. Falling out. We had a falling out.
Creatively? Did you?
Part of it. That was part of it. The part that I can attest to is that I have pretty big feet, pretty strong head. I don't think anybody could have been in a duo with me at that time. And we were also, by the way, complete. We're really good friends now. I mean, we have.
I've seen you play with them before, so I'm assuming now you guys are cool.
Pure closeness.
Yeah.
These are two kids who are the stars of their town, the musical stars of their town, coming together, obviously seeing something in one another that they identify with. And it gets a little strange. It's like two people sharing a birthday, you know. It's like I entered his entire social life, you know. And I think there was an identity thing of like, wait, what's mine and what's yours? And again, taking responsibility for it. I have very big shoes. I'm not necessarily subtle. Especially at that age, you didn't want to mess around with young John. You don't want to mess around with 19-year-old John Mayer, who just figured out that the world is bendable and he's out to just destroy it. But this is my new record, The Project.
Oh, that's the Lindsay L record.
Yeah.
That's,
so can we get a shot of my new record, The Project?
Sure.
Part of it was because I went by Lindsay L. And can we play a cut off that?
Sure. No, sure can. Here you go.
So yeah, so there it is. This is a great recording, isn't it?
You're asking me like seriously?
Yeah, it's a great
love it.
It's a great recording.
Yeah. What's the difference? When you say recording, I just hear a song.
The way it was engineered, it's gorgeous. It's the best. That's the Gravity's the best record. Like, you know, it's the difference between Song of the Year, Record of the Year,
yeah.
The Grammys. Like, this is quite a record. Listen how spare it is if I stop talking. Well, now I'm just going to keep going because we're so close.
But
really
post
key
it.
Into the record, especially the vocals. This is Gravity from Continuum. Check it out.
Gravity.
When I went to your show in Minneapolis, you didn't play it. I was sad. And I know you get that every
it's
show because
so
you can't play everything.
No, but you saw me in the beginning of this tour where I was like, I'm going to just play whatever I want. And the crowd was adamant that I play Gravity. So we added Gravity back in every night.
Great.
And that's cool. Look, it's cool to be that artist where, you know, there are things that people identify with you so much that you have to play them. I dig it. And I'll play Gravity every night for the rest of my life. Like, that's a song I'll never get tired of.
Hey, John Mayer is here, which is cool. Amy, what's your favorite song off the new record?
Oh, well, you know, I have the one about...
She doesn't know any words to it. She just knows parts of it.
No, I know about how... I just think it's really, really clever about how you keep the shampoo in the shower in case... And romantic. I think every girl sort of would want a guy to sing that for her.
I got that. Sticky hands, man. It's hard... Hard getting out for me.
It's good.
But I mean,
this song.
No dude wants to have to write this song, though.
Yeah, but he's about being vulnerable.
Enjoy
it.
You love it?
Listen. No one knew what to do with it, but listen. I know because she told me so. What do you give this song to? Like, and this leads in the blood conversation. Like, if you're a station that's like a AAA station, you play John Mayer music, and all of a sudden Columbia's like, hey, here's the next John Mayer single. Like, it doesn't fit anyone's radio station.
But does it have to fit? Because I'm a guy.
I don't think so.
Everything
I'm
has
with
to
you.
Fit radio. I think nothing has to fit radio.
I'm with you, man. I mean, maybe that's why we're still filling the places up with people, is because I'm not following this sort of format rule, you know? Like, I put mixtapes out, I feel like. But listen to the jam.
I think it's the jam. 3 days.
Three days, I lost my mind, and I was only thinking about this song. 3 days in a trance.
What do you do in a trance?
You're only about bringing the song to life. I was in my therapist's office, and I said, I still feel like her man. And I went, oh, no. Here we go. And I got in the car. I wrote down, I still feel like your man. And when I was done with it, I had this really interesting jam that's like hopeful, but also like has the saddest line I've ever written. I literally cried when I wrote, I still keep your shampoo in my shower in case you want to wash your hair. That's the saddest lyric I've ever written in my life. Think of how much desperation is in that line. She's not coming to wash her hair at your house.
Because what if she does come back?
What if you come back?
She'd be like, dang, you still got my shampoo.
Yeah,
also,
yeah.
The shower is a very vulnerable place, you know? And you stare at it as this sort of totem. It's still life. It's the last. It's like someone's shampoo is what they use in their most intimate, solitary moments. And they've brought their shampoo to your place and they've left it there because the implication is, I'm going to be here so often, it's worth my time to place some shampoo here and get some more for myself because I really feel like I'm going to take, you know, set up shop here. But the idea of keeping the torch lit where you say, well, I'm keeping it there. It's like, you know, there's like this dog in Japan. And the dog had an owner. And the owner would go to the train every day. And the dog would follow the owner to the train and then be there at the exact time the owner came back from work off the train. The dog would be waiting on the train platform. Then one day the owner died and the dog still waited at that platform for his owner for years until the dog passed away. I love that story. It is true. There's a statue of the dog where the dog once stood himself. And I very much in breakups feel like the statue of that dog. Not even the dog. I feel like the statue of the dog.
Oh my
God. It's a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Thank you.
John Mayer is here now. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad this all worked out to where you could come in. The day I came back from the show, I was like, man, you know, some of this record sounds like music that we would play, you know, in this format. It's even more traditional than some of the things being played now.
Right.
And so I was like, hey, why aren't we playing it? And so I played it and got screamed at and, you know, it was a whole thing. But now here we come full circle.
Yeah.
And you've had a little time and some other stations and other people have played it. And I think it's been embraced really well by people outside.
And with you to thank for it.
I hope the show goes awesome tonight.
Thank you. And yours too.
Thank you.
I want to know how the emoji joke works.
I don't think I'm going to do that at the Opry.
I'm giving you my cell phone number and I want you to, I have a home number. I'm going to give you my home, office, and cell phone number. I'm giving you my cell phone telephone number and I want you to tell me how the emoji joke goes and you can use emojis for it.
I will not do that at the Opry, but I'm in California. I'm doing two shows in California this weekend.
Where are you going to be in California?
And so,
Plug it.
Well, trust me, I do enough. But I'll be in Monterey and Modesto both. But like a lot of TV bookers are coming out to watch because I'm rarely on the West Coast.
And booking for what?
For lots of shows. Yeah,
late night slots. Or would you bail on this dump to be on a sitcom? Is this what you're saying?
I would not bail, no, but they are coming out. It is kind of a dumpy studio, right?
They're going to give you cones. They're going to give you a reserved spot. You're going to lease a Porsche Cayenne. You're going to live in Studio City. It's going to be great for you.
Wow.
You're going to shop at Whole Foods.
Wow.
Oh, I see. You're going to live the life.
Dang.
You're parked right next to Johnny Galecki. You're going to be on the lot. You're going to run into Mario Lopez every damn day and forget about all these losers, aren't you?
That's the goal. All right, John Mayer. Thank you, John. Good to see you, buddy.
Thank you.
Have you enjoyed this?
You're great. This was great. This is great. This is like
is this ironic?
No, I don't do that. I wouldn't do that. This is like we had a dinner and we're like already on dessert and I'm like, oh, we didn't even really get to it.
I agree. We could have spent next time you come to town or I'll come up to Montana.
I would love
to hang out with the dog.
Would love to.
All right, here we go. John Mayer, everybody. What'd you do last night?
I went to bed early, I guess. Yeah.
I know. I texted you and you were out.
Yeah. Sleep is important. So.
I know.
I've been trying really hard to like do a bath, calm my sleep, read a little bit, then go to bed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I know. Grandma.
No, like a bath and sleep.
Epsom salt. Yeah. What about you? You do that?
I didn't. No. And I texted you later because you're usually up later than I am. And I mean, a little bit, I didn't want to screw the John Mayer interview up. Not even because I'm a super fan, but because. Like, I just respect him as an artist too much. And I was like, all right, I want to make sure.
Oh, and what did you listeners, need when you texted to talk about that?
No, I was also writing jokes for the Opry tonight. I'm doing stand-up at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm probably, first of all, for me to not go to John Mayer tonight is a big deal. Because I love John Mayer's music.
Love.
But I have so much respect for the Grand Ole Opry that it was like, I can always fly to another John Mayer show. How many times I could do stand-up at the Opry? They don't have comedians. So I was up just going over jokes, just busting myself in the head. Like, is this even funny? And I would send people references. Like, well, people, because the crowd tonight at the Opry is like from 5 to 500. And they're from Florida to Northern California.
In age, 500.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are 500-year-olds there tonight.
Wow.
So a little bit I'm stressing about it. And I don't stress about doing stand-up. Because I don't mind failing. But there's just a pressure with the Grand Ole Opry doing stand-up comedy. Even when the Raging Idiots, our band, played it, it was like, this would be fun. But yeah, so anyway, I reached out to you last night. I did that. Just stuff. I don't even know, because we have vacation coming up in a bit, like a few days. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have nothing to do. Like, I have no plan.
I was talking to a friend about that yesterday, about you and your vacation plans. And
I have to do something.
We were both hoping you have something lined up.
Nothing.
Like, can...
And I'm frustrated by it because I just have no hobbies or nowhere to go or just a thing. I don't know. I'd like to somehow unwind. But, like, right now, it's crush time. It's great.
And so maybe that also is a good time to take a few days.
Yeah, but I'm... Like, rarely am I just in a zone where I feel like things are on cylinders and, like, the stand-up's going great. The show ratings are fantastic. It's just... And if I know I'm going to go away from it and it's going to ruin it all, we're going to come back and it's all going to be gone. Like, we're going to lose... That's how my mind works.
Okay.
I've got to find a new therapist.
Yeah.
I have to, because I'm just sitting there going, we're going to leave for a few days, come to the next few weeks, and... We're going to come back and the ratings are gone and we got to... That's what I think about.
Yeah, that's not a healthy place to live.
But what I think about is if I'm not working harder than somebody else, they're catching up or passing me all the time.
But, you know, sometimes if you take some time to...
I hate that theory.
Okay, rest, you know, rejuvenate. you can come back stronger.
I hate that theory.
Like, you know, when you work out, your muscles, they're building or they come back stronger when you give them time to rest and repair.
I don't like that either. I just nonstop do curls all day.
Okay.
There's a... On my... Insta story.
Uh-huh.
So if you go to my Instagram, Mr. Bobby Bones, and you go to my Insta story, my shorts that I went to work out in yesterday were a little too big, so I had to take them off. I worked out in just tights.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
And you can see it and tell me on my Insta story, because I'm doing this thing where you hold like 135 pounds up like a bench press, but then you kick your legs back, right? But I'm in just straight tights. It looks like I'm a ballerina. You can look on my Insta story and tell me if you think it's goofy or not, and just tell me what you think.
But I feel like you pull them off.
I appreciate that.
I feel like they're legit, you know. I don't see ballerina necessarily.
Well, some people did. 3 servers were fired from a restaurant because they took a picture of Robert Pattinson and Katy Perry having dinner together.
Oh.
And I do believe they should have been fired because, again, if you get caught doing it, you should be in trouble. But again, if they're in a public place, anybody else wouldn't have gotten in trouble. But the servers that they're working there, it's kind of like, I used to go to a restaurant. There used to be a lot of famous people to go to this restaurant. And they weren't allowed to say anything famous about the famous people. They had to treat them as normal people. And if they didn't, they would get fired.
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
That they get fired for not treating or for treating them different.
Yeah, because they're just supposed to be someone that's eating dinner.
Yeah,
not.
But it's hard. When a celebrity comes in, like when I worked at Jason's Deli and Tim Duncan from the San Antonio Spurs walked in, you don't think everybody freaked out and was
Yeah, but you can't act like it to his face.
Everybody was handing him menus and, hey, will you sign this? Will you sign this?
Oh, no.
As he's going down the line picking out what he wants to eat.
Oh.
I get it. I just say it's just a... I know, right? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They treat you different. Are you pretty famous?
Oh, everywhere I go, they treat me different. It's a little weird.
I hear you, Lunchbox. This guy got stuck out in the desert for days, and all he had was beer and urine, because the beer made urine, and it's all he drank to live. Like, it's wild.
45 hours stranded in the Arizona desert, he told authorities after getting lost during a day of exploring.
I didn't tell anybody where I was going. I just got up, and I thought I'd go to Cronking to have lunch.
Mick saying he opted on his GPS to avoid highways, sending him down steep, rugged back roads when he says his transmission went out, alone with only a couple of beers, crackers, a sandwich, and a bottle of water. Mick says he decided to walk, leaving behind signs and notes. Eventually finding a dirt biker he now calls his guardian angel.
And again, he had to drink his own urine because he ran out of beer. And I don't even think that sounds that gross. Like, in a time of necessity, it's just like, all right. Oh, but how many times, this is something I wonder, and I'd have to ask like a scientist, I guess. How many times could you do it? Because it's like you drink your urine and it would come back out as urine. You could just constantly do it. But I guess it probably doesn't work like that, does it?
Probably not.
Hmm. But I cannot, I mean, I guess I could. But
no,
the guy, that I could. Like, no problem. I drink my own urine, no problem. But the guy who broke his arm under the rock.
Oh, yeah, that.
The 532 hours?
172.
Yeah, 47
hours.
Days.
That one.
Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's tough. That's tough.
Yeah, I would just be like, take me now.
Give me the urine.
I struggle. He had to drink his own urine, too.
Of course.
But I struggle thinking about the arm break thing. But
no.
But maybe he didn't feel, because I can't read the book. I couldn't watch the movie.
Mm.
Maybe it was so numb from the rock being on it.
I don't know, man. That makes me sick thinking about it.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
That and the warm beer that he had to drink. Warm beer, that's terrible.
Oh, more than the urine, the warm beer is gross?
I couldn't do it.
It says about 2 days you can drink your own urine because the 5% that is not water,
yeah,
it messes up your kidneys.
Mm, okay, makes sense.
Yeah, how about that? Being stuck in the desert. You know, the stories about people on their GPSs, though? Because it was like, you know, I chose not to take roads. I decided to go places no one's ever been. I'm always like, come on, dude. You're by yourself. You know, let's make an occasional wise decision. Like, it's okay to go a little nuts, but let's not just go,
crazy town.
Yes. So it's the people, too, that drive, and they're like, I'm going to follow my GPS regardless of where it goes. Okay, take a left. Well, I do see a large body of water. But it does say take a left.
So just go for it.
Like those kind of, and those stories in the news always make me go, what's wrong with, do you trust your GPS more than you trust your eyeballs? And some people do.
Yes.
Dustin Hoffman's 80 years old today. And I think on the younger generation, even us a bit, how great of an actor he is and was is lost.
Do you want the French toast you got? Did you know that all the best chefs are men? I bet you didn't know that, did you?
This is Kramer versus Kramer. He was in, for us, like Meet the Fockers and the one before that. The same movie.
Meet the Parents?
Meet the Parents. Yeah. Meet the Fockers, yeah. But like, Morgan number two is 23. Dustin Hoffman to you means what?
I honestly don't know. Until you said Meet the Fockers, like, then
you didn't know who he was. Yeah. And for us, too, it's tough.
Rain Man.
Oh,
Rain
definitely. Man. And that was early in our lives. Yeah. Judge Wapner. Judge Wapner. Also, having a birthday today is Shawn Mendes. He's the Vine kid, but I'm telling you, this kid is so legit of a musician. And I'm not trying to ruin happiness. He's 19. This is a song called Ruin that I love. I know he's like a kind of, they have him positioned as a pop kid, but he's so good. And I'm not trying to ruin happiness, baby. So Dustin Hoffman, 80, Shawn Mendes, 19. So Brett Young, pretty new artist, got a couple songs. In case you didn't know. Funny story though, Amy was telling me. Tell these guys.
Okay, so he got a message from a fan where she was like, "Oh my gosh, I just want to thank you for, you know, letting my or cutting my boyfriend's song that he wrote for me." And he's like, which song is it? So she told him, and he's like, I wrote that song.
Oh.
But the guy she was dating legit told her he wrote the song all by himself. And she reached out to Brett to thank him for recording it. Like, how cool.
Oh, my goodness.
So
does
Brett
it work like that?
I guess.
Because I wrote a bunch of good songs. I wrote Humble and Kind.
There is no way this guy thought that she was going to validate this.
Right. That she would right. Brett would respond to her, you know?
All you have to do is Google it, though.
Can you imagine? He was like, oh, crap.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Like, songwriters are listed.
That Taylor Swift hearing, the trial starts. Now, the trial part of it, not yet. They're doing jury selection. And so they're having to pick jurors. And so what happens is people come in and they ask them questions. And I'm like, ooh, you can't be on the jury. Ooh, maybe. Amy has the questionnaire. They're asking potential jurors to see if they can sit on this jury. So they are what questions?
Yeah. Have you ever heard a Taylor Swift song?
Oh, wow. They're all out. The whole group gets up at once. All right. Well, okay. They've got to, you know when they remove a jury and then when they move the whole thing? They have to go to like, you almost can't go anywhere.
Nowhere.
Say.
Like, not even America, like Venezuela. But even though I bet
you
even
probably know Taylor
like,
there.
Shake it off. Shake it off.
Exactly.
What's another one?
Have you ever read a blog about Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, again.
Yeah, probably not for me. I'd be sticking around for that one.
It's a website,
okay,
though.
Okay, yeah.
Bunch of vlogs.
Yeah.
What else?
Have you ever watched one of Taylor's videos?
Oh, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. We could not be on the
jury. Have you bought a Taylor album?
No.
No.
Have you intentionally listened to Taylor through an online service?
Yeah, I'm out.
No. Have you gone to one of her concerts?
I'm out.
No.
You've never been to a Taylor Swift concert? You're missing out.
I guess we've seen her at places. iHeart.
I have the greatest Taylor story. Like,
tell us.
What is it? Write it down.
No, it's not that. It's just I'm just in this phase of writing the second book, and I just don't want to deal with it. You know.
Wait. So you're not going to put it in the book?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh.
It's not a bad one. It's a fantastic one.
Huh. Okay.
But it's like, you know, why even go down that slope? That's a tough crew over there to deal with.
Yeah. The Swifties?
No, that team.
Her team.
Yes, it's a tough crew. But it's, I mean, it's a great story. It's just tough. That's a tough, man. That's, you guys have been in the studio before when I like pulling my hair out, like off the air. So it's like, what, do I even want to deal with it?
What do your people say about putting in?
No one even knows. Do you know what it's about? I just in my hands.
Yes.
Do you get that?
100% know what it is.
Wouldn't that like shake the world up if they knew that?
Do that hand motion again.
Yeah, do that again.
One more time.
Uh-uh. Don't you think a lot of people would be like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Like, I'm the,
I think so.
I'm going to hurt my arm, pat myself on the back. Hold on. I'm the greatest secret keeper, man. I got more secrets.
Yeah, it's terrible. You don't even tell us.
Yeah, I tell Amy most of them.
I know, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we'll do that hand, just one more time.
No, bro. If you didn't see it, you don't get it.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I bet to y'all that could have looked like a couple different things.
Yeah.
It looked bad from over here.
John Mayer was in earlier. I hope you listen back on the podcast.
Nice but segue.
We're going to do a Bobby cast. It will be 1 hour of John Mayer and I, and then we'll put it up next week.
So cool.
And so he's in town. He's playing a show in Nashville tonight. So one that'll be up next week. People are asking. And the interview is well received. You never know. Like, I like to do things sometimes that some people will be like, ooh, I don't know about that. But I would say, Morgan, number two, you're looking online. How do people feel about it generally?
Oh, everybody is, like, loving it. I think people are crying all over the world right now.
And people who don't even like John Mayer, like, I don't know if I liked him or not, but, I enjoyed the interview. I enjoyed it, but also love him. Amy has this picture she painted for me 10 years ago. And Amy's a terrible artist, but she tries hard, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I love the picture. I've kept it 10 years.
I know. I'm impressed.
And I brought it up, and I just put it on my Insta story.
Can I tell people where it was?
It's in my house, my bedroom.
In your bedroom? I laughed so hard.
Oh, I know. I've seen it up there.
It's in my
but...
pictures like when I post from my bedroom.
Oh, really?
But I mean, you've moved multiple times.
I've kept it. I love it.
Amazing to me.
10 years ago, Amy painted this picture of John Mayer, and again, it's terrible.
How many houses have you lived in
like
since then?
75.
Crazy that you have it in your bedroom.
And it's terrible in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, I would have like Eddie Jr. painted it.
Yeah, but that was my first. Remember,
but
I
know,
all
but
the art
great.
Stuff.
Amy, it's good.
That's why it's great.
That was the year I took up painting, and I painted like 3 things.
She also, speaking of Taylor Swift, she was going to meet Taylor. This is way early.
Golly, this is
she
so
painted Taylor. She painted Taylor with a picture of
I
herself.
I took an art class and everything
just
specifically
to paint
Taylor
for a picture and gave it to her. And then asked her like 3 months later, do you still have it?
Do you have it on your bus?
Well, because she told me she was going to hang it up like above her fireplace, but... Whatever.
Man, what a friend that you kept that in your room for 10 years.
I love it. It's one of the best gifts I ever got.
I think we need a frame. I'd take it to get it framed.
Okay.
Because it's special now. John signed it.
He did. He put a heart on it, too.
Yeah.
I want to play a song that I think is really fantastic, and it's new, and the guy is unsigned, and, sometimes I just like to do this because I think the song is so good. His name is Brandon Ray, R-A-Y, and it's called Ends of the Earth. You'll hear Keith Urban doing background vocals, and Keith produced it. I think the song is so good. I hope you like it and download it if you do. It's called Ends of the Earth by Brandon Ray. I just think the song is so good. I want you guys to hear it.
10,000 miles on gravel roads, hitchhiking my way through Mexico, red eye straight through 20 time zones, all alone, just to feel you breathe, just to see you smile, just to hold your hand for a little while. I go to the ends of the earth for you, to the moon and back like it ain't nothing new. When I got my arms wrapped around you, girl, it's like I'm holding the whole wide world. You're the closest thing to heaven, this side of that sunset in, and I won't stop till I've been to the ends of the earth for you.
We were a couple Raging Idiot shows this past weekend, and we played this song, and I was just thinking of Lunchbox, because we played We Dance Anyway from Dina Carter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And the whole crowd was singing, because with the Raging Idiots, we play some of our funny songs. We always have artists with us, too, that play in our band. Like,
yeah.
Right now, Adam Hambrick is playing with us, and he wrote Dan and Shay How Not To, and he wrote Justin Moore, Somebody Else Will, so he plays those songs, and so... It's like half songs and half like fun covers. But we decided to throw in We Danced Anyway. This song, it's so good. The crowd was singing so loud, but I was just thinking about your Lunchbox.
Man, it's the jam, dude.
Because of all the songs that you oddly love, you love this one too?
I mean, yeah.
Do you know it?
I know a little bit. Like,
summer air was heavy
and sweet.
You and I on a crowded street. There was music in the air.
I can see you there. In a happy little foreign town where the stars hung upside down.
Come on.
A half a world
away.
Far, far away. I remember you were laughing.
We were so in love.
We were so in love.
And the band played songs that we had never heard, but we danced anyway.
We never understood the words to say.
Jam.
It is the jam, right?
That is the jam.
But I was thinking about you because it's such the jam.
Man, how do I know that song?
I don't know.
It's I don't know.
We were playing Watershed a couple weeks ago, and this comes on in the car, and it's me, Nikita Carmen, Adam Hambrick, and my manager, and so we're all driving through there, and this song comes on. Everybody's singing at the top of their lungs. Like, just, because this is like, it was on the same album as Strawberry Wine was,
mm-hmm.
and we're just, everybody just singing as loud as possible, and just... And I'm all I can think about is Lunchbox. And
man.
That's it, all I can think about. Was it wasn't memories of back in the day. It was just Lunchbox. But it's such a good song. And then I was asking Eddie about it, and he was like, and Eddie, like me, like we, most people our age, we, the music we grew up on, like 90s country to us is the best country. It's not now. It's not five, it's the 90s country.
No,
that's when we grew up as kids.
That's right.
Everybody feels like the music they grew up on is the best.
Yeah.
So we feel like 90s country was the best. And then it's like, you know what? For me, that really wasn't the jam.
I don't remember it, really.
Really?
I mean, Strawberry Wine was like everything to me, but this one, I just really don't remember it.
You, Dylan?
I remember it, yeah.
Do you remember it or do you love it?
No, I love it. When I hear it, I'm like, and we danced anyway. Yeah. But Strawberry Wine definitely takes the cake. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, yeah. It's a monster.
Duh. Like that, I immediately go back to my red Ford Bronco,
oh,
like
man.
Driving, pulling up to my high school, turning it up.
Strawberry Wine is a generational anthem.
Absolutely.
Really?
We're going to lose generational anthems right now because
yeah.
the what's happening with record labels and in radio where they take a number one and they, you're number one now, next. It's a trade-off system. It's killing the music industry. It's killing the ability to enjoy music and for songs to last for 10 years because it's like number one and then the next day all of a sudden, boom, it's not even on the radio anymore. Like how does a song go from number one to... losing 10,000 spins
crazy.
In one day. A
crazy.
Song just doesn't get worse in one day. And so, yeah, I hate that for this generation. But again, maybe we're just old. You know? Maybe
nah, I'm with you. I hate it.
Maybe they don't need generational songs. Maybe they just need a million songs, you know? But anyway, that song is so good. I just want to talk about that for a second. Lunchbox goes on the streets and talks to people that have been drinking. And so he asks them a question, and we have to figure out if they got it right or not. That's how the game works, right?
That's it.
Drunk,
you guys bet money.
Wednesday page.
Okay, so lunch goes out. Amy, we're going to bet money on this.
Okay.
We'll do three of these. How much would you like to bet? Money to charity. We'll donate to charity.
Okay.
You get to make the first bet.
Start off with $20.
All right.
Wow.
As I often say, $20 make
you
holla. All right.
Let's go!
Oh, boy.
Why do you like to drink alcohol?
My wife... is the first lady of America, and she's the first lady of my life and every life.
How long have you been married?
2 years. We've known each other since third grade. I saw her, and she sat next to me, and she said, "You spit on me," and I didn't spit on her, but I love her.
Mm.
I love her. Look at her. Look how pretty she is. Gorgeous.
Aww.
Who are the presidents on Mount Rushmore?
Okay.
He can't get all four.
No, of course not.
No, he just said his wife
but
is
how
first
many
lady.
Should, I think if he gets three of them, that counts. So do you think he gets three of them, yes or no? Three of the four?
Yeah.
You think he gets three of them?
Yeah.
Okay, if he gets three, you win.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
George Washington? Abe Lincoln? We're going to go John Adams? And we're going to go Benjamin Franklin. That's 4 for 4!
He got 2 out of 4.
Sorry, Ian.
Thomas Jefferson?
Jefferson.
Yep. And Theodore Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington.
You owe me $20.
Dang it.
Number two.
I just turned 21.
Oh, 21.
21.
How's it feel to be 21?
Amazing. Happy birthday to the... That's what I'm gonna do.
Tell me what you did to celebrate 21.
Whiskey, beer and whiskey and beer and whiskey.
Do you think you're going to throw up tonight?
No, sir. Oh, I've been throwing up since 03.
How many weeks are in a year?
Okay. I get to guess that one. I say he gets it. The answer is 52. I say he gets it.
How much are we betting?
Double or nothing.
Oh, okay.
52.
Boom.
Yeah. Oh.
No, what are you? Yeah, right now we're at $40 tab.
Quite a difference in questions.
But you got to pick if yes or no. It's not pick the question how hard it is.
I know.
You're down $40.
I know. It's all right. It's for charity.
Yeah.
I'll get it back. Double or nothing.
You want to go double or nothing or 40?
Oh, no.
Oh, go. Okay.
Come on.
High roller. You're down $40 for charity. Do you want to double or nothing it, or do you want to go 20?
On this one, let's just go 20, and then we'll see what happens.
All right. Lunchbox is talking to drunk people. We have to determine if they get the answer right or not.
What is the best thing about you?
My personality, duh.
What is so great about your personality, duh?
I'm fun.
What makes you so fun?
I mean, look at me. I'm fine. I'm fine right now. I don't have my kids. I'm fun.
Count from 10 backwards as fast as you can.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What do the 13 stripes on the flag stand for?
All right.
She has to get it.
Does she get it?
Yeah.
You say yes for $20.
She gets it.
And the answer is, by the way,
the 13 colonies.
Right. Let's see.
I don't remember right now.
Oh,
stop.
Wow.
Stop. She doesn't remember right now, but she'll remember in a second.
Tough. You're down $60 right
now. What?
I know.
What's wrong with people?
They're drunk. That's what's wrong with people. Yes. Little Big Town. Dang. 60 in the hole. That's my nickname at college. I want to say this. And I'll read you the story first. A cop is shot dead during a traffic stop. The manhunt for the possible gunman has happened. The Missouri State Highway Patrol says authorities are looking for a man. I don't know if there's been an update. Since the story's been handed to me, I haven't seen one. And I could go on about the story, but I think the point that I want to make with the story is, and I say it a lot sometimes ad nauseum, that every time a police officer pulls us over for speeding or texting and you swerve or... They're putting their life on the line every single time. Every single time. Because they don't know what's going to happen inside of the car they're pulling over. And we see a car, a police car, and we're like, oh, man. Like, we automatically associate that with a ticket and having to pay $100 and having – and I wish we wouldn't. It's human to do that. Because you see a police car on the road, you're like, oh, I don't want to get a ticket. But just realize that every single time – they go into any situation, even as routine and basic as pulling someone over at a traffic stop. They're putting their lives on the line every time. And you know what? Most times, most people abide by the rules. They do the things they need to do, and life goes on. But sometimes they don't. And those sometimes are the times that we just need to really appreciate. We need to really respect the fact that for me, if it's nighttime, I'm turning my light on inside the car before the officer walks up. You know, I always say, I try to go a little over the top to let them know that, listen, I got nothing going on here. I put my hands on the steering wheel. I turn the light on. Like, I want them to see everything all the time. But I just read the story, and to me, this is an awful story, and I hate it. I hate it for the highway patrol. I hate it for the family of the officer. I hate it for the officer. But I also just like to use it sometimes to remind people that this happened at a traffic stop. This wasn't them busting into a drug house where they think that maybe there's something going on and everybody's got their guns and the SWAT team. This is a traffic stop. Mm-hmm. And there are traffic stops happening all over the place all the time. And every time it happens, an officer is putting his life, and the families of the officers have to, every time they leave their house. So our appreciation. If you're out there in the blue, we appreciate what you do. And it takes stories like this sometimes for me to come back on the air and reset that. So I appreciate what you do. If you're out protecting and serving, and we try to find stories all the time in the news that say, hey, look at how awesome these officers are doing the small things. You know, even the story about the officer, you know, buying the clothes. It's, anyway, I'll get off the soapbox, but I felt like I need to talk about that for a second. John Mayer came in this morning. He's talking about a lot of stuff over the course of, you know, we spent 20 minutes or so. Will it wash out in the water? Or is it always in the blood? couple highlights when John Mayer said this.
Man, you're a very good interviewer. Like, so, you're asking really interesting, untrodden on questions that are exciting to answer.
Thank you very much, John. It's very kind of you.
You're great. This was great.
Thank you very much, John. Wow. I appreciate that. Wow, yeah.
You're great. Wow. This was great.
Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah. Wow, wow.
Man, you're a very good interviewer.
Wow. Thank you very much, John.
What did you think of it, John?
Well,
you're great.
Oh, my goodness. Stop, John. Yeah. I'm just trying to play clips back.
You're great.
But stop.
Yeah,
okay.
But.
Okay. And then I did think when we were talking about Still Feel Like Your Man, this was that. And this is probably, 2.5 minutes or so. But I want you to listen to this from John Mayer this morning. Amy, what's your favorite song off the new record?
Oh, well, I have the one about.
She doesn't know any words to it. She just knows parts. Go ahead.
No, I know about how. I just think it's really, really clever about how you keep the shampoo in the shower in case. And romantic. I think every girl sort of would want a guy to sing that for her.
I got that. Sticky hands, man. It's hard, hard getting out for me.
It's good.
But I mean, this song. No dude wants to have to write this song, though.
Yeah, but he's being vulnerable.
Enjoy
it.
You love it.
Listen. No one knew what to do with it, but listen. I know because she told me so. What do you give the song to? Like, and this leads in the blood conversation. Like, if you're a station that's like a AAA station, you play John Mayer music, and all of a sudden Columbia's like, hey, here's the next John Mayer single. Like, it doesn't fit anyone's radio station.
But does it have to fit? Because I'm a guy. I don't think everything has to fit radio. I think nothing has to fit radio.
I'm with you, man. I mean, maybe that's why we're still filling the places up with people, is because I'm not following this sort of format rule, Like, I put mixtapes out, I feel like. But listen to the jam.
I think it's the jam. 3 days.
3 days, I lost my mind and I was only thinking about this song. 3 days in a trance.
What do you do in a trance?
You're only about bringing the song to life. I was in my therapist's office and I said, I still feel like her man. And I went, oh no, here we go. And I got in the car. I wrote down, I still feel like your man. And when I was done with it, I had this really interesting jam that's like hopeful, but also like has the saddest line I've ever written. I literally cried when I wrote, I still keep your shampoo in my shower in case you want to wash your hair. That's the saddest lyric I've ever written in my life. Think of how much desperation is in that line. She's not coming to wash her hair at your house.
Because what if she does come back?
What if
you
come back?
She'd be like, dang, you still got my shampoo.
Yeah.
Also, the shower is a very vulnerable place, And you stare at it as this sort of totem. It's still life. It's the last. It's like someone's shampoo is what they use in their most intimate, solitary moments. And they've brought their shampoo to your place and they've left it there because the implication is, I'm going to be here so often, it's worth my time to place some shampoo here and get some more for myself because I really feel like I'm going to take, set up shop here. But the idea of keeping the torch lit where you say, well, I'm keeping it there. It's like, there's like this dog in Japan. And the dog had an owner. And the owner would go to the train every day. And the dog would follow the owner to the train and then be there at the exact time the owner came back from work off the train. The dog would be waiting on the train platform. Then one day the owner died, and the dog still waited at that platform for his owner for years until the dog passed away. I love that story. It is true. There's a statue of the dog where the dog once stood himself. And I very much, in breakups, feel like the statue of that dog. Not even the dog. I feel like the statue of the dog.
Oh, my God.
It's a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Thank you.
To that, I take a drink of water.
Yeah.
I
still keep your shampoo
in my shower. So there's some of the John Mayer stuff this morning. You wanna wash your hair. Listen, I loved it. I give it an award. It gets a Bonesy. Best interview of the year.
Yeah.
Bonesy. I give that a Bonesy. Yeah.
Really care. Because as long as it is there, I still feel like...
People are like, hey, what are your top five songs? That's like picking Kids for me. Like your favorite Kids?
Oh, yeah.
You want my top five songs?
Yeah.
Number five. She's always buzzing just like neon, neon. Neon. I'm going to yell them. Neon, neon. And it probably changes with the day. Who knows? Number four. From his early EP before his main record. Comfortable. All of slow dancing in a burning room.
We're going down.
Number two.
Gravity.
Gravity.
It's working against me.
And number one, Stop This Train.
Stop this train.
This was the first song in my life that I felt like talked to me. Ever in my whole life. I heard this song, and it was the first time I was like, whoa, somebody's singing in my voice. Ever in the history of my life of songs.
Do you feel like there's similarities between you and John?
We're total weirdos, completely. And I think that's why we hit it off sometimes, or we don't. Yeah. Someone gave me a note. I didn't do the bit. Somebody wrote a thing of similarities between... Because I felt... Listen, I'm all about self-serving. Don't get me wrong. I just felt like it was a little too self-serving. But John Mayer says nice things about me.
Man, you're a very good interviewer.
Thank you very much. I do feel like we're both nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in good ways, sometimes in bad ways.
Yeah. Like I found, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, there was some stuff, he was just saying about how he was talking, I don't know if this was on air or off air, but, running his music by people. And he's like, no, myself, like I know. And it made me think of you. I don't know that you've ever been asked that specifically about things. And I know that you have certain people you share things with. I already know.
But ask me the question, though, I don't really know exactly where you're going, but maybe the audience can.
Well, do you, when you have ideas, whether it be for the show or maybe for stand-up or songwriting, I mean, you're involved in so many different things now, but who's your go-to for running things by?
Nobody. Not at first. Not when it's like, this is the idea. I know this is the right idea.
Right. I know. When he said that, I was like, that's Bobby's answer. Like, when he gave that...
If it's done, I'll let people listen to it. Then I still don't even take their opinions for the most part. But.
Right, I know. But I mean, you're like the... But there's something about that in y'all's... You, John, and you, Bobby, trusting your creative genius.
I think he's a genius. I think I'm just
y'all
nuts.
Are different types of creative. Y'all are both... I would say that you are. I mean, in Lunchbox, this said multiple times, like, we both are pretty fascinated by the fact that you can just kind of know what's going to work. You just know what's going to work and what we're going to want to hear, or what we're going to enjoy, what listeners are going to enjoy. But you have your pulse on that. And clearly, John's got a pulse on his stuff because everything he puts out is pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's had some misses, and I've had some big misses. But you have to have the misses.
But you're going to have misses when you swing for the fence. That's the thing. When you go big, sometimes you strike out. But as long as you keep going back up to the plate and taking those hacks, that's what matters. That's what makes you a genius, willingness to swing for the fence.
I mean, listen to what John had to say about you. With
me? Oh, yeah, John said a lot of nice things about me.
You're
yeah.
great. This was great.
See? Thank you.
So, I mean, there's that.
Man, you're a very good interviewer.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, I enjoyed it. Hey, Bonesy, Interview of the Year.
Yeah,
so far.
Yeah.
Bonesy Award 2017.
All right, now let's say something.
You're great.
I suck.
You're great. Yeah, listen,
all right, I can't take that much. Yeah.
Bobby Bones, everybody.
Transmitting across America.
This is Bobby Bones Show.
Come on, Bobby.
The guys from High Valley just tweeted, last Saturday, I was thankful for the Raging Idiots' new single, At Chick-fil-A. It reminded me. Because on Saturday, you have to go. Yeah, because if you don't get Chick-fil-A on Saturday, it ain't open on Sunday. I'm still irritated that YouTube Kid put out a song the same week and beat us. So we'd have been the number one comedy song.
Yeah.
He's like 60, 80 million, 90 million YouTube followers. And he still barely beat us. Little 17-year-old punk. I bet I could beat him up.
Oh, for sure.
18.
Yeah.
For sure you can.
Wait till he's 18?
Yeah.
We put out a song called Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday.
Someone asked me earlier to play the Chick-fil-A song, so.
I'm going to sing this at the opera tonight, by the way, I've decided.
I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. I want the fries and a little waffle, but now I'm feeling awful. I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. Yeah, the one day that you aren't open is the one day that I was hoping to get Chick-fil-A, yeah, yeah, yeah. To get Chick-fil-A, yeah, yeah, yeah. I yell hello through the drive-thru, hello.
nobody answers me back. I look around for all the other cars. Where the heck is everyone at? I want Chick-fil-A, but it's Sunday. I want the fries.
There it is. You can download it on iTunes. Try to take down that 17-year-old punk. Keep it open. I don't see him on the, in the back alley.
But it's Sunday. Yeah, the one day that you want open is the one day that I was hoping to get Chick-fil-A.
Coming to you, Ann.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
Okay, so we got to talk about this husband in New Jersey that created a generic Pinterest account and secretly followed his wife. And he did this so that he would know exactly what gifts to give her. Like, he would see what she pinned and what she liked, and boom, he kept that a secret for 3 years, came in clutch with the gifts.
How do you not know for 3 years the things you're pinning you're getting? Like, it's a sweet thing. I love the sweet thing, but all of a sudden,
eventually outed
it's like,
himself.
But 3 years, it's like, pin, boop, Amazon Prime arrives, boom, what do you get? Pin, boop, Amazon Prime. Like, eventually be like, wait, there's something fishy.
Yeah.
That is a really sweet thing, though.
So, hey, tip to guys out there, if your wife has a Pinterest account, secretly follow it, and you'll know what's up.
Tip to guys, create fake social media accounts and just live life.
Dang.
Yeah.
It works
yeah.
both ways.
Yeah, it does.
Okay,
but yeah.
Well, that's something that's super sweet, and, you know, chivalry is something that's out there, too. So, I ask you this. Is chivalry dead?
Nah, depending on where you grow up. I think it's still very much a thing in the southeast region mm-hmm. of America and in the south a bit. My grandma, I'm from Arkansas. My grandma was like, always open doors. So it's not dead with me. And I think generationally, it's also starting to die down. So depending on where you live geographically and generationally, it's not dead, but it's slowly going that direction. But also, here's the thing too, you can't start yelling, we want everything equal, and then ask for it not to be equal.
Right.
So that becomes a thing, too.
Yeah. I mean, I want things to be equal, but I'm not going to be mad if you get my door.
Okay, so, and again...
But I'm not going to be mad. Some women are be like, how dare you get the door
but
for
I'm
me?
But I'm with you on that. But again, I do understand the logic, and if we're going to be equal, everything needs to be equal.
Okay, like so if, occasionally I get the door for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Great.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm saying it from the person who
but
does.
But I mean, I grew up in the South too. Like, I like chivalry.
Yes, me too. But logically, if everything's equal, then everything should be equal.
Okay, well, Match.com did a survey with single women, and 73% said chivalry is dead.
Dying.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, it's like 68 years old. I'd say it's like 68 years old of human lifespan.
Okay. I hope it sticks around for a little bit.
What else you got?
Okay, if you have the August blues, like right now, if you're
boy,
feeling
I
a
do.
Little down.
Na-na-na-na-na. I just woke up and it's August.
Na-na-na-na-na.
I'm not feeling so good.
Na-na-na-na-na.
But then John Mayer came to town.
Na-na-na-na-na.
He's in my neighborhood. I got the August blues.
Oh, boy.
Well, if you have the August blues, you're not alone, because it seems August is a downer for a lot of people because it signals that summer is ending. Mm-hmm. It means the end of summer fun. For others, it's like back to work, you know, back to school, like all kinds of stuff. And it's just the ingredients, all everything mixed together causes the blues.
Da-na-na-na-na.
Gotta get a winter coat.
Da-na-na-na-na.
Cause summer's saying bye-bye.
Da-na-na-na-na.
I hate when it snows.
Da-na-na-na-na.
I think I'm gonna cry. I got the summer blues.
I mean, I'm kind of ready for fall weather, don't get me wrong.
Nah.
But I
August
wanna...
blues are real.
Da-na-na-na-na.
Oh, baby, baby.
Da-na-na-na-na.
Winter is so mean.
Da-na-na-na-na.
Fall is just okay.
Da-na-na-na-na.
But I hate raking leaves.
Oh! Feel me?
You ready?
Feel Bobby?
No, I feel it.
We could do this for 3 hours and be entertained with ourselves.
I know.
Yeah. Bonesy Award, Best Blues yeah! Song of the Year.
Good job.
Go ahead.
Good job.
Okay.
Okay, so now that summer's coming to a close, Halloween stuff is already being put out. And I just feel like sometimes we kind of push the year along by putting out holiday stuff a little too soon. Like, because then after Halloween, we're going to start seeing Christmas stuff.
Okay, Meemaw, let me teach you about the world real quick and
okay.
Consumers.
I know.
If people didn't buy it, they wouldn't put it out. Right. So they're not putting it out there and people are just looking at it going, this is too early. Yuck. They're putting it out and people are buying it.
Whoa. Oh, go ahead.
I'm holding the talkie stick.
Okay.
If they put it out and people didn't buy it, they'd stop putting it out.
Yeah. But I have a point to this story about Halloween stuff being out because it's candy corn and there's a new flavor
See?
In town.
Here she goes. She just contradicts herself with her tone.
Exactly.
She just tone-addicts herself.
Yeah. If you're not into the traditional candy corn, well, let me tell you, they have a new cookie-flavored candy corn.
Wow.
And a bag has chocolate chip, oatmeal, cookies and cream, and buddy cooker cookie-flavored candies in it.
I'm into that.
Mm. Uh-huh. That sounds good.
Yep. Candy corn is disgusting.
I like candy
it's
corn.
It's just straight sugar.
Yeah, right. I like that too.
I know. Okay, so happy Halloween.
What?
Or something like that.
No, you're making the year go too fast. Don't say stuff like that. Are we done?
Uh-huh. I'm Amy, and that's your pile of stuff.
There you go. Get your bones on Bobby Bones Show. Thanks to John Mayer for stopping by. That was fun. I mean, really, it was awesome. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie. We're going down. So yeah, thanks to John Mayer for coming by, and you can hear that back on the show. Just go to iHeartRadio or iTunes and search Bobby Bones Show. There's also, after we talk for a while, there'll be a 1 hour Bobby cast of John Mayer and I talking. That'll go up next week, but just a heads up.
That's cool.
He just kept talking. He kept telling me how good an interviewer I was. And I was like, wait. Yeah, it was a fine line between fangirl and good interviewer. I mean, really, it was. And I think I hit it. Like, I do. I think I hit it. But, yeah. Hell, it's good. I hope you go back and listen to that. Always appreciate you being here, a part of the show. I don't even know what to say. It was just a good day, you know? All I need now is David Letterman to come in.
Oh, wow.
Garth, John Mayer. If I get David Letterman, I retire. Like, Radio Hall of Fame. I'm done. I got nothing else to do.
Okay.
Well, let's hope Dave never comes in.
Yeah. There you go. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Bobby Bones.
Bobby Bones Show.